Today with Joseph Prince.
Jesus taught us how to see him best. After he rose from the dead on the Emmaus Road, he was walking with them. Think about it. He was walking with them in his resurrected form. And yet the Bible says he withheld their eyes from seeing who he was. He would rather they see him in the scriptures than to see him in person. Because if he allowed them to see him in person and realize who he was, all right, we will all say, well, good for them. They were during that week of resurrection. There's no hope for us. But because he made them see him in the Bible, there's equal ground for all of us. Today we can have the same blessed warm heart that Jesus came to give all of us. The day after the Passover, when Israel came out, they came out none feeble, none weak, none stumbling, none tottering. Get ready with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. God is saying, when you partake, get ready for physical deliverance.
For your gift of any amount to the ministry today, you will receive Joseph's new 2-sermon audio series, The Healing Power of the Bread and Cup. Are you or your loved one trusting the Lord for healing? Then ignite your faith to receive your breakthrough as you hear powerful truths on the Holy Communion. And for a specific gift this month, you will also receive a collection that includes Joseph's brand new 90-day devotional and the Healing Scriptures book and audio companion. Be immersed in God's healing anointing as you listen to life-giving scriptures read by Joseph.
The word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
Request Joseph's brand new resource today. Call us toll free at 877-769-5433 or visit us at josephprince.org today.
Tonight, we're going to see the story about this son of Abraham. And going into this passage, we believe that God, the Holy Spirit, will open our eyes to know the truth that God has for us from this wonderful story. Why is this man called the son of Abraham? All right, we learned last week about the lady who was bound for 18 years. Jesus says, once she's a daughter of Abraham, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from this disease, from this bondage of 18 years. So the moment she became, she didn't have to be doing, just by being. You know, many places they emphasize on doing. Just by being a daughter of Abraham, heaven is obligated to perform miracles. God will move on your behalf. Amen? Tonight we're going to study on the son of Abraham. His name is Zacchaeus. The name is given in the Bible. But before that, let's look at Galatians 3 and who are the real sons and daughters of Abraham. The Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Those who are what? Are sons of Abraham. Amen? Don't forget, the moment you become a son or daughter of Abraham, God, and I say this reverently, God is obliged to give you your miracle. In fact, He is wonderfully obliged to give you your miracle. He loves it. Okay? So we need to study this a little bit more. So the Bible says, those who are of faith. Now, what is this of faith? And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. So the subject matter in the context is justification by faith. Can you see that? Righteousness by faith. All right? In fact, the verse before verse 7 says, Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. So the context here is not healing by faith, baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. The context here is righteousness by faith. The Bible says God preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand about this justification by faith, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith, of this faith, are blessed with believing Abraham. Not doing Abraham, not working Abraham, believing Abraham. Amen? So praise the Lord. We see in the Gospels only two, Jesus said, was the daughter of Abraham and the son of Abraham. Today we go to the story of Zacchaeus. His name in Hebrew is Zakkai. Zakkai means pure one, the just one. However, this man is not exactly what you would deem pure in the natural, because he was a thief and he did his robbery through becoming a tax collector, We know because later on when he repented, he says, all those I've cheated. So he made a living as a tax collector, and the Bible says he was rich. Let's follow the story. Luke 19, verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. Not only a tax collector, he's a chief, you know. And he was rich. Nothing wrong with being rich. All right, but this guy got rich because of cheating, stealing, okay? And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. Say sycamore tree. To see Jesus, for he was going to pass that way. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Amazing. I mean, of all the crowd there, Jesus looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Every single word is beautiful. We're going to break this statement down, okay, shall we? This one statement, he says, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. Today I must stay at your house. Zacchaeus, it is personal. Salvation, it is personal. He calls you by name. When God wants to save you, he calls you by name. He knows you by name, you know. God doesn't see a crowd. God sees individuals. He knows your name. It is personal, Zacchaeus. Make haste. It is pressing. It is urgent. Make haste. God, you know, this is the only place in the Gospels where our Lord tells someone to hurry up. When it comes to salvation, it's the only time he says, hurry to be saved. Don't wait 1 minute longer in darkness. Don't remain 1 minute longer under the power of Satan. Don't remain 1 minute longer unsaved. Amen. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Amen. So Zacchaeus, it's personal. Make haste. It's urgent. It's pressing. Come down. It is humbling. Salvation is humbling. Amen. Some people, you know, they get saved and they want to get saved, but they dare not come to the front. Never mind. Coming to the front does not save you. But you help me understand that you have to lay everything to put your trust in Jesus, because your riches cannot save you. Your good family name cannot save you. You know, the Ark of Noah, Noah's Ark. Only one entrance. Only one door. So whether it's a tortoise that comes or a giraffe, okay? A giraffe also must bow down to enter the ark. How many understand? Amen. We all entered into salvation through the same door, Jesus Christ. So it is humbling. Come down. For today I must. Now, you underline this word must. I'm telling you, when I was studying this, the Lord confirmed to me that just like he used the word, ought not this woman, the word that's day in Greek, D-E-I, divine necessity, the same word, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from this bond, the same word ought is used here. I must stay at your house. Now, why? Why is there a divine necessity for the Lord to say, today I must stay at your house? Why? Because, drop down to verse 9, Jesus says, salvation, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. All right? So that brings us to the question, how did he become a son of Abraham? By the way, verse 10 is beautiful. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. All right? Now, say this. He has come to seek and to save. So at the end of the Zacchaeus story, right after he says he's a son of Abraham, he says, because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now keep that in mind. Now we're going to find a secret as to why Zacchaeus, how he became a son of Abraham. All right? So if you go back to the verse 1, when you read verse 1, Jesus entered, passed through Jericho, that behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, nothing special. All right? And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Doesn't seem to indicate anything. All right? Now, here is where the Greek helps you. Because when you read verse 2, it tells you, verse 3, and he sought to see who Jesus was, right? When you read it superficially, it sounds like there and there, he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So many people, even for me, when I read that last time, I used to think that at that moment, he was looking, like most people, I want to see Jesus. Some people wanted to see Jesus out of curiosity. All right, you always have them. Amen. Some are half cynical, even critical. Some are angry at him. Amen. Because they feel like, you know, he broke the Sabbath like some Pharisees. So there are a lot of reasons why people are pressing in to see Jesus. Mothers are lifting up their children for him to bless. But how come this guy, this man, he's different? So I always thought that he also wanted to see Jesus, who he was, but could not because of the crowd. Now, although that's a superficial reading, but if you look carefully at the Greek tense of verse 3, and he sought, the word sought there in the Greek tense is the imperfect tense. Whenever you find the imperfect tense of sought, seeker, that means he has been seeking. Imperfect tense means a continual action in the past. That means in times past, he's been wanting to see Jesus. He has a heart to see Jesus. In other words, it's not just a curiosity seeker wanting to see Jesus. He has been wanting to see Jesus most likely because the Holy Spirit has been dealing with him. How many of you want to see Jesus? Amen? New aspects of him. Do you know that this desire to see him is something that God values a lot? So much so that people ask, how do I see Jesus, Pastor Prince, today? How do I see? Do I picture him? Someone asked me this recently. Do I picture him? How do I see Jesus? Do I picture him? Well, Jesus taught us how to see him best. After he rose from the dead on the Emmaus road, amen, he was walking with them. Think about it. He was walking with them in his resurrected form. And yet the Bible says he withheld their eyes from seeing who he was because he was about to teach them the Bible. He wanted them to see in the scriptures things concerning himself. He would rather they see him in the scriptures than to see him in person. Because if he allowed them to see him in person and realize who he was, all right, we will all say, well, good for them. They were during that week of resurrection. There's no hope for us. But because he made them see him in the Bible, there's equal ground for all of us. Today we can have the same blessed warm heart that Jesus came to give all of us. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, that's how we see Jesus. Now, the word sought is the word seek, past tense of seek. Seek in the Greek is zetio, Z-E-T-E-O, zetio. Zetio. Now, this is very interesting. Why I call your attention to the Greek word is because zetio is used also by Jesus right at the end of verse 10. He sought to see who Jesus was. Verse 10 says, the Son of Man has come to zetio. He was looking for Jesus. Jesus was looking for him long before he looked for Jesus. Now, by the way, this word zetio is used in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Which says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. How many want God to reward you? Listen, Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. The word diligently seek is one word in the Greek. Ek zetio. Now, zetio means what? Seek. Ek is E-K. E-K, ek means out of. Or you can say, seek out. To really seek out, seek diligently, amen? So zetio is used again, amen? For seeking diligently. Can I have a good amen? So Zacchaeus, God will be a rewarder of those who zetio him. Really seek to see him in the Bible. Seek to see him on Sunday. Seek to see him in the events of your life even. Amen. God loves it. And you know something? That looking at Jesus is actually equivalent or the same as believing in him. Because when he says, even as Moses in John 3, he says, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So that whoever believes in him, now he changed the word. Instead of looking, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know that when the people of Israel murmured against God, they actually said, every day we are eating this light bread. They call the manna from heaven light bread. Never, never, never come to a place say, oh, every Sunday must take the bread. It is for your healing. But they complain against the bread. You know what happened straight away? Snakes came. The snakes were there. But the snakes cannot come as long as they were eating and appreciating the bread. But the moment they depreciate the bread, the snakes came, bit them, and they cried out to Moses. Moses told, cried out to God, and God told Moses to make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, right? And this is what the Bible says, Numbers 21. Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked, say he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now I want to show you something very interesting. Do you know the Hebrew? Old Testament is in Hebrew. Here it says when he looked. The word look here in the Hebrew is not the natural word for look. The word here is a stronger word. It's the word hebeit. Hebeit. I'm going to show you the word right now. H-I-B-E-E-T. Hebeit in Hebrew. And hebeit in Hebrew means look expectantly or attentively towards. Look expectantly or attentively towards. It's not just look. It is to look expectantly. To look attentively. If you see your disease, your cancer, your growth, your pain, your disease on the body of Jesus, and you keep on looking at it attentively, all right? It cannot remain in your body at the same time. If Jesus has borne it and he has borne it, it cannot remain in your body. Praise the Lord. Now, why? Why was he a son of Abraham? How he became a son of Abraham? A desire to see Jesus. Now I'm going to show you something. This one, you need your Bible. Okay? You need your Bible. Are you ready? You ready? All right. Now, I told you just now there's divine order in your Bible, right? Do you know in Luke 18? Now, what chapter is this? Luke 19, right? Luke 18 is before 19. How many know that? 18 is before 19. How many know that? All right, praise the Lord. Okay? Good. 18, 19. Now, look at 18. 18, we have the rich young ruler story. Y'all know the story, right? He came to Jesus boasting, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Knowing full well that, you know, he believed, he's confident in the law, he has kept the law. So Jesus said to him, you know the commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not kill. You know what he says? All this have I kept from my youth up. So Jesus loved him. Jesus looked at him and Jesus says, one thing you lack. So every time you boast in the law, amen, the Lord will always point to you and say, one thing you lack. You cannot find your standing with God through the law. Because when you make the law your boast, Jesus will always say, one thing you lack. Amen. This guy was near perfection, no? It's only one thing, not bad, no? Only one thing, and this joker walk away. Jesus says, if you'll be perfect, just one thing only. Amen? And that one thing is that God is not first place, money is. Jesus didn't say, believe in me, because he was boasting. So Jesus gave him the law to show what the law would do. He could hardly give one shekel. Not even one shekel. He walked away without even giving one cent. We were saying our Singaporean vernacular, right? But the next chapter, Jesus did not give any law. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down. Tonight, I must stay at your house, right? What is that? Grace. I mean, he's known as a sinner in the city, chief tax collector. Everyone despised him. And Jesus says, come down. I must stay at your house. Of all the people. No wonder he received Jesus joyfully, the Bible says. Right? Just grace given. And what's the result? What's the result? What did he say in verse 8? Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore four times over. When you preach grace, people end up fulfilling the law. You know, this guy says, I restore fourfold. You know something, Zacchaeus? He actually kept this law without realizing it. Exodus 22. Whether he realized it or not, I do not know. But one thing, Jesus' grace touched him. Exodus 22 verse 1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox, 4 sheep for a sheep. Can you see that? So, whether he realized this law or not, all right, he ended up keeping the law. Yo, receiving grace causes you to end up without realizing you are fulfilling the law. But the way I see it, his heart is so full, he feels like giving. Amen. He said, the Bible is exciting. Now let me close with the final truth because of time. When Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, the Bible says he climbed. Another thing about the Bible is this. There are no insignificant details. Numbers are there for a reason. Names are there for a reason. Okay? Look at Zacchaeus' story. And he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. Now the Holy Spirit mentioned to you what the tree was. It didn't say a mango tree. It didn't say a durian tree. It said a sycamore tree. A sycamore is a fig tree. It's another name for a fig tree. It has very strong roots and thick trunk. And usually the branches go real low. And that's why he could climb it, probably a slanting one, and he looks down at Jesus. But the Bible specifically mentioned the kind of tree he climbed, sycamore. Why is it a fig tree? Why did he climb a fig tree? Okay, I'll wrap all this up in a way that the Holy Spirit showed me, and I believe he's going to bless you. Okay, watch this. In Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, you know what happened when they sinned against God? The glory vanished. Actually, they were not naked. They had a golden clothing. It was radiant. The Bible says when man sinned, in the Jerusalem Bible, it says all have sinned and forfeited the glory. The glory disappeared and they saw their nakedness. All right? And verse 7, Genesis 3. Then the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed what? Fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. That's what I said before, salad dressing. They sewed what? Fig leaves together. Now, usually when something happens, right, you grab the first tree that is there. So could it have been that the tree of knowledge of good and evil is speculation? All right, could it have been it was a fig tree? All right? In any case, fig tree was nearby. For them to realize they were naked and they grabbed the first tree they could find and took the leaves and they covered their nakedness. Okay? Got it? And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So Zacchaeus went up the fig tree. Jesus was walking towards Zacchaeus, the tree. Right? Compare and contrast. Huh? One of the best ways to learn grace is to compare and contrast with the Old Testament. Okay, watch this now. All right? They heard the Son of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Where? Where? Among the trees of the garden. They were hiding among the trees. What did Zacchaeus do? He exposed himself. Yeah, in front of Jesus. Jesus, look. He was there. He exposed himself, right? Okay. Then the Lord said to Adam and Eve, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Where are you? Jesus looked up and saw Zacchaeus straight away. And he said, Zacchaeus! He knew his name. You know what Zacchaeus means? The pure one. All right, I'm going to give you the revelation right now because of time. Look up here, church. You know, when you expose yourself to Jesus because of what he has done for you at the cross, when you expose yourself to Jesus, he will call you my pure one. Today, every morning, if you want the touch of God the whole day on your life, every morning or before you sleep, depending on what time you want to spend some time with God, have a personal contact with Jesus. And regardless, you think that the whole day you didn't conduct yourself like a Christian, you felt like, you know, you didn't behave as you should, doesn't matter. Expose yourself to your righteousness, to your healing. His name is Jesus. There's no way you contact Jesus, even in prayer or in the Word, when you talk to him, Lord, open up this passage to me. Or Lord, speak to me, Lord. I need some encouraging words, Lord, speak to me, Lord. And you open the Bible. There's no way you contact the King of Kings and his health, his courage is not breathed into you. There's no way. Everyone that came to Jesus who was sick were healed. Not everyone in Israel was healed during the time of Jesus. Not everyone in Jerusalem was healed. Not everyone in Galilee was healed. Not everyone in Capernaum was healed. But the Bible says clearly, everyone that came to him, they were healed. Those who exposed themselves to him, they were healed. Amen? Because you're exposing yourself to the face of infinite grace that Zacchaeus saw, that looked up and he saw those eyes that heaven pierced through to look at this earth. Those wondrous eyes look at Zacchaeus and said, come down, Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house. Those eyes sees more than what you see in yourself, because he created you when you were in your mother's womb. He redeemed you by his blood at the cross. He loves you. And when you expose yourself to him, you will come into the fullness of the image that God destined for you to have. And you will reign in life. Amen.
The day after the Passover, when Israel came out, they came out none feeble, none weak, none stumbling, none tottering. Get ready with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. God is saying, when you partake, get ready for physical deliverance.
your gift of any amount to the ministry today, you will receive Joseph's new two-sermon audio series, The Healing Power of the Bread and Cup. Are you or your loved one trusting the Lord for healing? Then ignite your faith to receive your breakthrough as you hear powerful truths on the Holy Communion. And for a specific gift this month, you will also receive a collection that includes Joseph's brand new 90-day devotional and the Healing Scriptures book and audio companion. Be immersed in God's healing anointing as you listen to life-giving scriptures read by Joseph.
The word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
Request Joseph's brand new resource today. Call us toll free at 877-769-5433 or visit us at josephprince.org today.
So I've been a yo-yo dieter my whole life. I decided to put Joseph's teaching to the test and I thought, okay, I can't do this. I can't lose weight, I can't do it by myself. And it was like I just went hands off. And I just walked out of it. I'm in peace and I'm such a different person. I'm so happy, I'm so content. And it's like, I'm excited on what's gonna happen next in my life.
My wife was pregnant. She developed cervical cancer. We decided we are not gonna believe the doctor's report. We're gonna believe the truth about what God says about us. So we began to worship Jesus and take communion at home. That same day, the symptoms began to diminish, and within 5 days, she was completely healed. I just want to thank you. Thank Pastor Joseph Prince for the message that he brings.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.